A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. Happy Saturday, Dan.
Happy Saturday to you, Dan.
We're back out of quarantine.
Yeah.
I recorded last week in my closet, and you actually spent all of last week in
my bedroom, working on a card table.
Yeah. It was pretty miserable, it looked like.
It was tremendously miserable.
Yeah, at least by the time I figured out that I might have been exposed, I'd already exposed everybody in my home.
Oh, so you didn't care.
Yeah, and we all wrote it out. Everybody's good.
Yeah, thankfully we're both healthy.
Yeah.
We're all healthy.
So we're back, and yeah, we've got a lot of stuff planned today, but before I tell everybody what we're doing, we were talking right before we went on air, that, you know, a lot of us have not had a haircut in a little bit, right?
I went 6 months without a haircut because I couldn't get one.
Yeah. So, and we all did that. But now that things are opened up, you know, I went and I did that the other day. And as I'm sitting in the chair, for the first time ever, the person cutting my hair, she's done it before, but she mentions the radio show. She's clued in that I'm that person. And so that was kind of funny because I never brought it up before.
Right.
But let me tell you, there's a whole world of thoughts that go through your mind right after that came out, where she, you know, acknowledged who I was and what I do. And I started thinking about, you know, did I wash my hair really well right before I came in? Did I do this? And then this horror moment hit me, because I have got a chair in my house, two chairs, and I've bragged about them on the show, and I shouldn't have, because 2 years ago, they were great. They were pleather. You know, it looked like leather, but it wasn't. And when I bought them, I kept calling them leather chairs, and the guy selling them to me kept saying, they aren't leather, just so you know. And to me, they were. They looked and felt like leather. Well, it turns out I had not noticed it, but the girls must wash their hair and then they sit in those chairs. And the pleather is kind of crumbling away a little bit. So anyway, what I've noticed over the last 4 weeks or so, I've been using that chair more, and I didn't put this together, but there was all kinds of black stuff in my hair.
Like leather dandruff.
I didn't know what it was. I thought I must be bleeding. Is it flaking, or do I have some sort of horrible disease?
What bed bugs look like?
Yes. So I've got my kids picking through my hair at the table one night, and it's like, you know, they're looking for what we're going to find there, and nobody could figure out what it was. Well, finally, I figured out it was those chairs, and I feel better about myself. But as this person acknowledges that they know who I am now from the radio, I'm busy thinking about what is in my hair. Did I get that cleaned out? Or now they're going to be talking about, that guy.
Yeah, right. The guy with the weird stuff.
I'm going to wear a hazmat suit next time I do his hair. Anyway, if you're listening, it's pleather from my chairs. It's perfectly clean. No disease at all. I'm proud to say that. So yeah, after this week of quarantine, we're both disease-free, and whatever's in my hair is perfectly, well, not natural, but at least not bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so what are we talking about today?
I don't know. What do we want to talk about today?
All right, well, I'll tell everybody. You've got the notes in front of you, and you bailed on that one.
Yeah,
we've got the contest that we're we've been plugging. We've got the winner.
Okay.
And we're going to announce that, of course, at the end.
Right.
Because that's going to require everybody to listen through the whole thing.
Tune in, pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show and all of that. That's going to be fun. We're also going to be talking about one of my favorite Christmas movies and a little bit of a story behind it. You know, it's the last episode before Christmas.
Right.
So we might as well do that. But right now, we thought we'd talk about the prizes that we're giving away. Now, we've covered the game part of things in previous weeks.
Right.
But we've really not dug into the package of paint tools. And I know that that sounds absolutely riveting. People are edging closer.
This is what people are waiting for. They're on the edge of their seat.
Turn up the talking box, Dad. He's going to talk about paint supplies. But even if you don't win the prize package, the tools that we're going to highlight and the paints that we're going to highlight are really, really high quality items that you're going to want to have. And we're going to kind of talk about why you might want them.
Sure.
So anyway, Let's dig into that. And I guess let's just start with the sundries part of things, the supplies, not the paint.
Okay.
And one of the things in the prize package, and I guess let's not even talk about it as part of the prize package so much. Let's just talk about it as tools you really need to have if you do any kind of painting at home.
In general.
The first thing is a really good roller frame. And the one that we're recommending here right now is called the Sherlock roller frame.
S-H-U-R-L-O-C.
Yeah, Sherlock. And it's a 9-inch frame. And the thing about it, it looks completely different than a standard roller frame. You know, everybody pictures the roller frame. It looks like a 7, kind of.
Yeah.
And then it's got the little...
the wire cagey part.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this one has almost a... it's a plastic cage.
Yeah.
And much more... solid, I guess I would say.
More
it's
substantial.
More substantial. That's the word I'm looking for. And on the end of it, it's got this little weird gripper thing, a little gripper spring.
Spidery looking thing.
Yeah. And the really cool thing about this, it's Sherlock for a reason. You slide the roller cover onto the frame, and the little springy thing at the end grips it. So that it doesn't roll off as you're working.
Slide off as you're rolling.
Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
This will prevent that from happening. It also... has bearings
in the
mechanism.
Roller part.
Yeah, so the squeaking is minimized.
Every roller frame that I have is horribly squeaky.
Yeah, Betsy always talked about that it drove her nuts.
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, she pointed it out to me, and it's one of those things that once you've...
Now it drives you nuts.
Yeah, and this one doesn't. Now, the thing that's funny about this roller frame is I never really liked it because... I had one customer one time come into the store and talk about how they had multiple people. They literally had one person holding the frame and the other person holding the cover trying to pull it off.
Oh, right.
And they couldn't get it off.
It's on there so well now.
Yeah.
It doesn't come off.
Yeah. And then somebody later down the road pointed out, I think it was Betsy, pointed out just the way to get those off is to just whap them on a barrel or something like that. You know, the roller frame is so heavy duty that it's meant to be smacked. You just wrap it up against the barrel. You know, we've got a junk barrel and the roller cover shoots right off.
And also that that metal wire, that 7 looking metal wire, is heavier gauge.
Super heavy
gauge.
And
so when you do whap it against the barrel or 5-gallon bucket or whatever, it doesn't bend or anything.
Right. I've had older, cheaper ones work. Because that's still a decent way to get a cover off anyway.
Right.
But with the cheaper ones.
They bend now.
Yeah. Well, and I've had parts of the thing shoot off as well.
Oh.
Then I just throw the whole thing in the barrel and get a new one. So anyway, that's the Sherlock 9-inch roller frame. We recommend that. Another roller frame that you've got to have if you do any painting at home is, again, from Worcester, and it's a jumbo coater frame. And it's funny, why do they? This is a little one.
But they call it jumbo.
They call it jumbo. Why
understand.
Is that?
I don't know.
Can anybody explain? Can we get Worcester on the phone?
I think we should ask.
We will. We will. But anyway, this frame is a 4-inch roller frame. And the beautiful thing about that system is that the roller covers you get for that are from Worcester, and they exactly match the material of their bigger counterparts.
Right. So like the ones that have a gold spiral on them, whether it's the little guy or the big guy, you know that you've got the same fabric, the same material that their roller's made out of.
And the reason that matters is because when you roll it on the wall, if you use a different system, you can actually see different results.
Right.
We were on the show talking with a couple weeks ago, Haley Johnson from Benjamin Moore, and she was talking about different textures on walls and how just that plays with light, and that can give you a different look, you know, for your color. That will also happen with rolling, brushing, all of those different things. If you use different methods, there's the potential that the light can pick up a different
angles
look.
Angles and stuff like that.
Yeah. With this Worcester system, it's all going to be very consistent.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really good about both of those frames that we talked about is that they interact beautifully with the next thing we want to talk about, which is an extension pole. And the one I specifically like is the Sherlock from Worcester extension pole.
Yeah.
And the one we're giving away in the package is a 2 to 4 foot pole. They
extension.
Go. How big do they go?
The longest one is 8 to 16.
8 to 16. That's not as convenient for working inside.
Not
unless
very.
You're in a church or
right,
something.
Real, in your stairwell or I don't know.
But what we're giving away is a 2 to 4 foot one. And the thing that's so cool about it is a lot of folks don't use an extension pole at all when they're painting, unless they're doing maybe a ceiling.
Right.
Then they get a wood one that's a fixed 4 foot pole, screw it onto the pole, onto the roller frame, and work with it, right?
Yep.
Well, Betsy bossed me because that's what she used to do all the time.
I know.
And she... It was gentle nudges. And I learned so much because she did a lot of painting before she worked here.
Right.
And one of the things she mentioned was she always used an extension pole, no matter what she was doing. But she used a smaller one. So this 2 to 4 foot pole. So we started doing that. And that made every project so much easier. I didn't have to whip out a ladder for anything, you know, because right. I'm height challenged.
Right.
So reaching up to the 8 foot ceilings or whatever, I did need a ladder to get there. With this pole, I was able to do all of that and move back and forth. So that was great. I could extend it to the 4 foot if I needed it, bring it down to the 2 foot. Everything was great. But every now and then you get into a tight spot, right? And you've got to still take that roller frame off.
Right.
And with an old-fashioned one with a threaded end or using a standard roller frame, you're going to have a threaded end on that. You need to do all that unscrewing, and that gets old, and you get sick of it after right. a while. This Worcester extension pole has a bayonet tip on it.
Instead of being threaded, it's smooth. It's
right.
just a smooth cylinder.
It just snaps into these both of those frames that we just spoke about. Snaps in, it locks in place. There's a hex nut that it slides over.
Yep, and there's a little triggery thing yep. with a pin that pokes into a hole that keeps it from turning and
holds it in place. It doesn't rock back and forth. It doesn't unthread. If you've ever worked with an extension
right.
pole and it's unthreaded,
extremely frustrating.
Very frustrating. The thing I liked best about it was how quickly I could take the frame off, roll that little area that I didn't need the pole to reach or where the pole was hitting something else and snap it back onto the pole so fast.
Yeah.
And I was able to interchange between the 9-inch frame, the 4-inch jumbo frame, back and forth, again, because they both have that same mechanism.
Another thing that's really nice about the Sherlock extension pole is that it's pretty large in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to the little wooden ones, the fixed length 4 foot wooden ones that are kind of small, like a broom handle, it's much more comfortable to hold this larger diameter thing in your hands all day.
They are really nice to work with. We've got one of those in the prize package. We've got a bunch of other tools. We're going to have to wrap this segment up because we want to get to paint at the end. But really quickly, just to give you some other things that you want to make sure you've got. A canvas runner,
yep.
which is a 4x15 foot canvas runner. You can get them for right around $20. Great
yep.
pricing for how long that will last.
Right.
Frog tape. We love this yellow safe release frog tape.
Yep.
And that gives you really sharp lines. Frog tape has a special paint block technology built into it.
Yeah, the adhesive sort of swells up when it gets wet.
Right. There's this chemical on there that when water activates it and it seals the edge of the tape. That's the...
So you don't have paint creep underneath.
Right. Everybody hates that. The thing with the frog tape is still press that edge down with a putty knife or your finger if you have to. A putty knife is the best to give it a really tight seal.
Yep.
And then you'll have razor sharp lines.
Yeah.
So that's a great product to make sure that you've got. And the last thing that we'd mention, and that's in the prize package, is just a quality brush. Cheaping out on the brushes is okay for certain projects, but if you're going to do painting at home, make sure you've got at least one or two good quality brushes. They carry more paint. They're easier to work with. You'll get better results.
Easier to clean.
Easier to clean.
You can use them over and over and over again.
Over and over again. Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we'll be talking about some of the paint products that you could select if you're the lucky winner.
Yeah.
That's all coming up next. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Dan, we're back, and now we're going to talk about some paint products that are included in the big prize.
Okay, yeah.
That we're going to give away at the end of the show.
Okay.
The ultimate family room makeover. You know, we've got all these games that we're giving away, a bunch of paint tools
yeah.
to get the project started. And now we want to talk about the paint. And of course, the way this is going to work is we're not demanding that people paint their family rooms.
Right.
Right.
Make that into their ultimate game room.
Right.
right.
You don't have to. That's
right.
not how
Repco
Light rolls.
We're not going to come check on you.
Right. That's not how America works yet. So whatever you want for the paint, you get
whatever
the paint
you want. Paint, yeah.
Right. You can mix and match. If you win, you get 4 gallons of free paint. Mix and match.
Cool.
Repco Light paint, Benjamin Moore paint. We're just going to make some recommendations because there's some great products out there. We've talked about them in the past, but they're always worth repeating
yep.
because you might forget when you're ready to start. And one of them, probably, I think, probably the biggest hit for us just working with it. My favorite paint product right now is Scuff-X from Benjamin Moore.
Yeah.
It has really revolutionized the industry in a way.
It's very unique. Yeah.
Paint doesn't always do that. You know,
no,
it's not something that turns heads all the time. You know, a great color in a room can turn heads, but to have functionality of the paint turn heads.
Yeah, especially for us industry insiders that see it every day, to see something revolutionary and so different like that, it is exciting.
And it's not a new product anymore.
No, it's
and
been off.
Nobody has really come up with anything quite like it yet.
Right. They've tried.
They've tried, and they'll tell you that it is.
But
this
it
is just like Scuff-X. So far, I've not seen anything just like Scuff-X.
No.
It rolls out, brushes out, sprays really well. I've had really great luck even just rolling it. I get a great finish.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about it is that it resists scuffs unlike anything we've ever
seen. It's unbelievable. I mean, really, you can't hardly believe it until
right.
you see it.
Ideally, it was made, or originally, I guess I should say, it was made for high traffic settings.
Yeah.
You know, schools, hospitals, offices.
Hallways, institutional settings.
Areas like that, right. And it was so popular and worked so well that contractors started bringing it everywhere.
Yeah,
and using it
in
homes.
Other places, sure.
I just painted my mudroom entryway with Scuff-X, and that was probably a couple months ago now. And for the first time in ages, first time ever at this house, the kids are kicking their shoes off and all of that, and I don't have the marks on the wall. If
right.
I do get a mark on the wall, it wipes right off.
And it used to be the solution to that was to use some sort of shiny paint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Scuff-X is available in all sheens,
right.
including a matte. And it's really great. You can still have all that resistance to scuffing without having a shine.
Right. That's really important. It's single component paint, which means it's just like it is paint.
It's
just like you're
using
thinking.
Anything else.
Exactly. You can get any Benjamin Moore color. The one downside to Scuff-X is because of what it was originally intended for. There's no quarts available.
Right.
So it's gallons and 5 gallons.
Right.
So if you come and ask for the little one,
it's going to still be pretty decent.
It's going to be bigger than what you think. It's going to be a gallon size. But Scuff-X prices out like regular, you know, quality paint.
Yeah.
Definitely something to check out wherever you're working. And we've even seen them used on trim and cabinets.
Sure. It's quite popular for that.
Now, another product that you could choose if you decide to, because maybe you're not doing a family room or a hallway or anything, maybe cabinets is what's
cabinets
on your
is
list.
Your thing. Sure.
Right. There are a number of products for cabinets. But a great one is Advance from Benjamin Moore. We talk about that
right.
a lot as well.
Right. It's sort of a hybrid between an alkyd paint, an oil-based paint, and a water-based paint. Cleans up with water,
yep.
but flows out and is hard like an oil-based paint. It'll be
right. The oil-based paint, it's funny because people equate oil-based paint with tough to work with. That's
right.
the idea in our minds. It's not tough to work with. It's maybe more complicated to clean up.
Right.
And there's a smell to deal with standard oil. But working with it,
it actually is much nicer for like eliminating brush marks and things
right.
like that.
It stays wet longer. It self-levels more beautifully. Advance kind of solves all of the problems.
It's the best of both worlds.
You don't
it really
have the
is.
Smell. You have soap and water cleanup, but you have a longer dry time and you get better results. I had somebody, a friend, who had not done a lot of painting at all. And during the big quarantine, did their cabinets. I sold them Advance, and they came back saying it was the easiest paint they've ever worked with.
Yeah, it really is. It's a joy to work with.
So Advance on properly prepped cabinets. Everything should always be properly prepped.
Yeah, goes without saying,
goes
but we're
without
still saying it.
Yeah. But it looks great. And there are tons of other paint products you could choose from. Repcolite makes all kinds of stuff you could pick. There's primers you could choose. The options are almost limitless.
Absolutely.
And whatever your project is, we've got something that can help you get where you want to go.
Absolutely.
Just stop on and ask. Now, we're going to talk about one of my favorite Christmas movies and a history behind it, and then we're going to give away the winner.
Okay.
So all of that's coming up in a little bit. Stick around.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Dan, do you have a favorite Christmas movie? I mean, everybody's got a favorite Christmas movie, I would think.
Yeah, I
right?
do.
You're not such a Scrooge that you don't.
No, I don't.
What is it?
Elf would be my favorite.
Are you nervous to say that? You seem embarrassed to say that.
Well, no, I'm not. It's, you know,
it's a man's movie.
I think it's actually one of my favorite movies ever.
It is. It's really, really funny. I'm not a big comedy person.
Oh, I am.
Well, I never find that I think they're done very well.
Oh.
I never find them terribly funny.
You don't get engaged or something.
It just doesn't work for me, but Elf works for me.
Yeah.
Every time. Every aspect about it is funny.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. My kids and I watch basically all the iterations of Scrooge
or
Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Our favorite is actually the musical one from the 70s, I believe, with Albert Finney.
Oh, really?
And I've heard, like bad things about that from reviewers and stuff.
About how horrible this interpretation of the classic is?
I know the story back and forth. I think it's one of the best out there. I think that one is absolutely brilliant. It is. The songs are great.
Really?
They're toe-tappers. Okay. They are.
All right. I'm going to check it out.
Definitely. But one of them is It's a Wonderful Life. That's just another one of my favorites.
The classic.
The classic. Everybody knows that. If you don't know that, where have you been? Right?
Exactly.
Unless you're 12.
Right. And even then.
Even then, you probably should know. But the thing is, I've always liked the movie.
Me too.
I really have always loved Jimmy Stewart.
Me too.
One of my favorite actors. And he always struck me as the real deal.
Yeah. Agreed, right.
We've got Hollywood celebrities now that I don't need to know so much about. I'll watch them on a screen, but I don't want to know everything anymore.
Right.
Jimmy Stewart was the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, with that in mind, I got a book and I read through that recently. It's by Robert Mattson. It's called Mission, Jimmy Stewart and the Fight for Europe. Jimmy Stewart was in World War II, and he's an incredible... I think he's the highest decorated actor in military history, actually. So anyway, this book is the story of all of that.
Of his life.
It's basically his time in the war.
Okay.
But what's interesting is the book starts and concludes, you know, kind of it's bookended by these sections where the author focuses on this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, because it was such a key, pivotal movie in Stewart's career. And that's what we wanted to talk about just a little bit, is give you some of the back history of Jimmy Stewart and what was actually going on when this It's a Wonderful Life was filmed. And I think if you know this, you're going to watch the movie with an entirely different...
It's going to give you a completely different perspective.
Exactly. So we're going to give you as much of the history as we can, and I may mess up some of this stuff.
Some of the minor details. Let's call them minor details.
I may mess up some major details. But I'm doing my best.
Yeah,
you know, I think I still rank...
We'll
just
probably get some comments.
Who cares? I can roll with it. Anyway, when the war started, World War II breaks out, Jimmy Stewart's 33 years old at that point.
Okay.
He's been in Hollywood for a while now.
He already is an established name.
Already an established name. He just had come out with Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right.
And he had received an Academy Award nomination for Best Actor in that one. Yeah. So anyway, he's an established name, but he genuinely wants to serve the country, which was funny because a lot of the actors around him were very confused about why he would want to go to war. It really reminds me of the whole Captain America story.
Right.
So if you're not familiar with It's a Wonderful Life, you've got to at least be familiar with Captain America. But it's the same idea. Somebody who wants to serve so badly because they feel that's their duty as an American citizen.
Right.
And yet, Jimmy Stewart ran into all kinds of issues. You know, he was a licensed pilot. So he went.
He already knew how to fly.
Knew how to fly. He enlisted with that idea in mind.
He's going to be a pilot.
A pilot. Right, exactly. But it turns out he was rejected initially because he was too light.
Too skinny.
Too skinny. Yeah, he didn't weigh enough. He was 6'4", something like that, and too thin. I can't even remotely imagine that.
Right.
Because when I go and get weighed at the doctor, they always give me that look.
Like, are you obese? Are you on the you're on the borderline.
Yeah. Sir, do you know what your BMI? No, I don't want to know what my BMI is. Let's just leave me alone. But anyway, he's this huge guy and he doesn't weigh enough. So he gets a trainer you know, and works on it. I don't know how long, but in 6 months' time, he is admitted now.
He bulked finally, up.
Yeah, he gained the 5 literal pounds.
That's
that
all he
needed
to get there.
I don't know if it really took him 6 months to get there because his metabolism was crazy.
Right.
What I wouldn't give for that. I'd be, if I had that, I'd have a plate full of Snicker bars right now, right in
right.
front of me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he gets into the military. However, he doesn't end up with the military experience that he really was looking for.
He was not allowed to have that experience.
Right, because his studio, kind of behind the scenes, pulled some strings, and Jimmy Stewart ends up being a flight instructor stateside.
They wanted to protect him. They wanted to protect their asset.
Right. That is the idea. You know, he was valuable to them, and they kind of thought they were doing him favors. You know, this is good. But he literally wanted to go and fight, not because of any glory dream, but because everybody else was.
Yeah, out of
Who
a sense
I?
Of responsibility and duty to the country.
Right, and it didn't sit well for him to be this Hollywood, you know, dandy who's protected with kid gloves over here. So he's actually arguing to commanding officers, trying to get transferred overseas, and he ends up succeeding. So he finally gets overseas and rises very quickly through the ranks. And by 1943, he's the commanding officer of the 703rd Bombardment Squadron. All right?
Yeah.
Now, by all accounts, everything that I've read and from the people who served under him and worked around him and with him, he's the same person in real life as we
as what
see
you
on the
would
screen.
See on the screen, right?
With a way of talking that's right, just that, a little different.
That drawl. You know,
that was real.
Yeah,
and
it's his
so,
true personality.
Yeah, the troops loved him. You know, the people underneath him really resonated towards him. It was a calming presence.
Honest,
and he was in charge, you know, and it just worked really well. People loved him. Now, during the time, he ends up running these bombing missions, and the bombing missions were horrific, you know, and basically what would go on is the planes, you know, whatever they were in, Jimmy Stewart flew Liberators.
Yeah. The B-24, also called the Flying Coffin.
Yes. And in the book that I read, they referred to them also as Widowmakers.
Yeah. Very difficult airplane to fly and very dangerous.
Very dangerous, problematic.
Right.
And so that's what he is generally flying. And as they would go and enter, you know, German airspace or German territory, they'd be dogged by all these German fighter planes. You know, so they got that stress to deal with. Then you get through that and then the flak starts. You know, so flak is, they're firing it from the ground. It's exploding around the planes and just throwing shrapnel
right
flak,
through the plane.
Right through the plane. It's extremely just crazy dangerous, crazy scary. People would go flak happy, they called it. And it was just, it's basically PTSD. It's just
shell shock,
much,
another word they would have used back then.
So much stress. The losses were tremendous. And in Stewart's command, it was really no different. You know, he had the same losses, and he took each one personally. You know, he had made a point to know everybody and get to know everybody.
He's the leader of this squadron there.
Yeah. So all of that is on his shoulders. And by the end of the war, of course, he's struggling with PTSD. You know, and like you were saying, it's called other things back then.
Yeah.
You know.
Shell shock.
Shell shock, battle fatigue. But bottom line, he's under endless stress. You know, back at home, back in the States, struggling with nightmares, emotional strain, all kinds of that. So he returns to Hollywood. And we're going to pause right now because now we're kind of making a shift in the story.
Right.
And we got to stop at some point and take a break anyway. So we're going to do that right now as Jimmy Stewart gets back to the States and is going to re-begin his life after the war.
Career.
We'll tell you how that goes, how it ties into the whole It's a Wonderful Life movie, and then we'll still give you the winner of our contest.
Great.
You just have to hang with us one more break. That's all coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. And the last segment of the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show before Christmas, the last show before Christmas, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
Are you excited?
I am.
Do you have your Christmas stuff all ready to go?
let's just say yes.
All right. I think Dan's quarantine time
It was a little bit of downtown. It took me off my game.
Yeah, so you were stuck in your room and you didn't make a lot of purchases.
The kids are just going to get coal anyway.
That's right. Hey, what does it matter? Anyway, we've been talking about basically the history behind It's a Wonderful Life, or at least some of the history behind Jimmy Stewart,
right,
the main actor in It's a Wonderful Life. We all watched the movie.
All seen it many times.
Many
probably.
Times, but we don't always understand. In fact, I never understood exactly what was going on in Jimmy Stewart's life at the time of It's a Wonderful Life.
The context adds a lot.
It changes how you view the movie. So we just talked about all of his, crammed as many of his war exploits into 10 minutes as we possibly could.
Yeah.
Bottom line is he was the commanding officer in a bombing squadron.
Yeah.
He is the most decorated Hollywood actor in military history.
Yep.
He retired as a brigadier general.
Right.
Actually. So anyway, tons of experience. But when he came back to the States after the war, he was dealing with PTSD, battle fatigue. And he returns to his old life in Hollywood. And he's trying to figure out what to do.
Hollywood's not the same.
Well, it's not the same. There's new actors who have kind of come up in the time that these old stalwarts
were
left
off at war.
Right. They came back and there's new actors, new directors. Everything's different. And he's disenchanted with the whole thing because he's just seen war. And now this play acting thing.
Right. All the studios wanted to make war movies.
Right. They wanted to make war movies, and he didn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
He'd seen enough of that, and that was one of the things they were trying to get him to do. Let's use your experience, and we'll crank out these war films. Well, he didn't want that, and he just struggled with the idea of how is this important? I was just overseas fighting, you know, for freedom, and I've watched people die. And now we're just play acting on a screen. It seems so silly.
Fake.
Well, along comes It's a Wonderful Life. And Frank Capra is the director, and he's trying to break back into the industry. He had worked with Jimmy Stewart on Mr. Smith Goes to Washington
before the war.
And Capra gets this script, it's a short story that he ends up buying the rights to, converts it into a script, and Jimmy Stewart signs on. It's a very unusual Christmas story, really, when you think about it. You know, you've got a suicidal guy who becomes suicidal when a large amount of money from the savings and loans, where he works, he manages that, he runs that, when that money is misplaced.
Went missing,
right. So he knows he's looking at jail time. You know, we see that unfold as the movie happens. When the money's lost, he realizes
he's on the hook.
He's on the hook, and he's going to jail. His whole life has been taking the back seat to let other people succeed.
Yeah.
You know, he was always the supporting guy. He wanted to do all these great things, but in the end, duty always called.
Yeah.
You know, again, very much for Stewart. You know, he's trying to build his
true
career,
personality.
But duty called, so he went for it. Anyway, with all of this going on, the character in the movie, George Bailey, decides, you know, or runs into this point where the only solution is he's just going to kill himself.
Right.
And then the end of the movie is the payoff that he doesn't, and he realizes what life would be like without him. Anyway, the big thing is the script comes up and Stewart signs on and he's terrified. Capra is terrified because they don't know if they can do it. They don't know if they've got it in them anymore to act
or
to direct. Or they're worried about what happens if nobody shows up, if nobody buys tickets.
Right. What if it bombs?
Right. And there's an anecdote that Lionel Barrymore is Mr. Potter, the great villain in the movie. And there's a point where Jimmy Stewart is struggling with the scene or the whole concept, acting versus the war. You know, the war was so important in this. And Barrymore says something along the lines of, hey, listen, how can you possibly think that killing people was more important, more noble than entertaining people and giving them something to hope for?
Right.
And that stuck in
his
head.
Saving people.
That helped him realize that what he's still doing has some value. But anyway, he jumps into this film and gives it everything he's got. And the thing that makes it so interesting to me is now when we go back and look at these scenes, we're watching somebody who literally has just come back from the war, who literally is really, as an actor, not the character, the actor is really dealing with all of this stress, all of this trauma, all of this shell shock.
Right.
And he translates it into the movie.
Right.
And that's what's so amazing. There's a scene in, I believe, a bar at near the end when George is being shown what the world would be like if he had never existed.
Yeah.
And the town is much worse off.
Right.
And he's at this bar and he's you know, talking to God. He's praying, you know, for an answer, for hope, for something. And outside of the script, he's crying, you know, all of this happens and he gets done. And the director says, all right, let's do it again, but we got to move the camera. Because he didn't know he was going to cry. He didn't know all of that was going to happen.
Right. Didn't get the right shot.
Jimmy Stewart says, it ain't going to happen.
I can't do this again.
It was all real. Yeah. You know, he tapped into that. And the other scene that I think is so impressive now when I look at it is the scene in the living room at the end.
Oh, yeah, you know, right, where he has a kind of a breakdown, I guess you'd say.
Right. He's found out that the money's gone. He doesn't know what he's going to do. His kids don't know. His wife doesn't know. But they're still clamoring, you know, doing all the things kids and families do. You know, somebody's practicing the piano. Someone needs to know how to spell something.
Yeah, everybody's asking for his attention.
Right, and he's losing it. And it's a really awkward scene to watch.
Yeah, it is almost painful to watch, really.
Right, and I've always thought that, you know, because he yells at everybody. He flips some tables over. He's just so mad. And they're watching him with this shock on their face. And then he tries to calm everything down. He apologizes, tells the little girl to start playing the piano again. And in a few seconds, he's yelling at her because she's not.
Right.
And it's amped up again right away.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's portraying this character who's lost all this stuff. But in reality, he's really channeling.
Yeah, these are things that he's really feeling in real life.
Really dealing with. And the beautiful thing, I read an article where it talked about how the family, when you watch them, they're watching him. And you can read on their faces that we don't even know who you
are.
They're
confused.
What is happening? And where is the dad that we know? And this guy writing the article, and I'll link to the article in the show notes, but talked about how families all around the country at that point were dealing with that exact same thing, watching their sons and husbands come back from the war and really be different people.
Right. That's another really interesting part of the context of this that was new to me, which is the people watching this are living this same thing and
right.
experiencing these same difficulties.
It really changed how I looked at the movie, how I watched the scenes. And I just thought I wanted to share that because Christmas time, it's a movie that comes out, but maybe now you can watch it again and maybe see it just a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
Definitely check it out. Definitely check out the book from Robert Mattson. We'll put a link in the show notes. Again, it was called Mission, Jimmy Stewart and the Fight for Europe. Dan, it's time.
It's time.
Time to announce the winner of our
great
Ultimate Family Room Upgrade Prize. And it's a little frustrating. It's a little disappointing.
Right. We've had so many entries.
Right. And you've got one prize to give away.
Right.
It's a really good one.
It is.
But it's still just the one. So everybody has had a lot of fun up until now.
Right.
Now everybody's on the edge of their seat.
Yep.
And then from here on out, one person's going to have a lot of fun and the rest are going to have a little less.
Right.
But just remember the joy of the journey, right?
That's right. It was fun.
So anyway, thanks everybody out there who entered. Thanks for having fun with the contest. But we do have to choose just one winner amongst the group. And we've used incredibly high-tech technology to do that, to randomize a winner. And Dan, why don't you go ahead and announce?
All right. Our winner of the grand prize is Mike Casper, K-A-S-P-E-R.
Mike Casper. We'll be emailing you right after the show to work out the best way to get you the prize, and we'll go from there. And Dan, we felt like that just wasn't enough.
As we were sitting here talking before we announced this winner, we really need to give a few more things away.
All right. So we decided that we're going to give away four more packages. They're going to be different packages, though. Not quite as amazing. They're still pretty good, though.
Yeah.
So four more packages, and each one of these winners will get a $100 gift certificate to Repcolite and a $50 gift certificate to Out of the Box Games, Toys, and Puzzles.
That's cool.
So yeah, you could still, you know, make a new closet or more than that even. You know,
yeah, you've got several family game nights involved
there. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we picked four more names, four more, well, I guess you'd call them runners-up.
Yeah.
Runners-ups. No, runners up.
Runner ups.
Pluralize the first part and leave the other part singular. Anyway, Christine Cromendyke, John Gear, Linda Keller, and Elaine Martin. All four of you will win the $100 gift certificate to Repcolite and the $50 gift certificate to Out of the Box Games. We'll be emailing you as well, and we'll work out how to get you all of that stuff.
Thanks. I think that's great.
I think that's fun. So thanks, everybody, for participating. And that's it, Dan. We got to wrap it up. All the Repcolite and Port City Paint stores are open until 3 today. And we should mention that next week, you know, as
Christmas
we've got the
Eve.
Week of Christmas, Christmas Eve, Repcolite will only be open until 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we'll be closed on Christmas.
Right.
But then right back at it next week, Saturday again. So we hope everybody out there has a great Christmas. We'll see you next week. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Dan Altina.
Thanks for listening.